Digging Deeper Without the Cold Face, the podcast that shares the incredible stories of the talented and passionate people in our industry. And it's now time for this week's episode of Digging Deeper Without the Cold Face. It's your host, Jessica Rouse.
We're thrilled to be recording live from the bustling floors of the International Mining and Resources Conference at the ICC in Sydney. We're here at their exclusive podcast zone known as On Air at IMARC. Now, our next guest is Idemitsu. Idemitsu Australia is certainly more than just a mining company with their finger in a few pies and certainly showing how renewables can be incorporated into site and how important other types of mining are too. Steve Kovacs, their CEO, and he joins me on this episode. Steve, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, thanks, Jess. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How good is this event?
It's very dynamic and exciting. There's lots of people. There's lots of nationalities, lots of companies. It's excellent.
It's very cool from my perspective. I haven't been exposed to a lot of the international side of mining, so it's been fascinating wandering around and seeing the different businesses and technologies and different people as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of the things that I attend tend to be coal-focused as well, or more coal-oriented. And so coming here where it's a much broader international focus, critical minerals and lots of other things, it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's awesome. So tell us a bit about you, Steve. How long have you been with Idemitsu?
I've been with Idemitsu for just over 14 years. Yep. I started with them when I took over running the Ensham mine up in central Queensland in 2011.
Yep. Yeah,
and
nice.
Then I've moved from being site general manager to chief operating officer to chief executive officer.
Yeah, you would have seen a few things over that time within the company and also in the industry itself.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been interesting, particularly that journey with coal through that time. Yeah, we've had ups and downs in the market, so that's been challenging. We've had the whole COVID period, which everyone went through, which was also challenging, and certainly the environmental side, the carbon emissions, the regulation on that front is very challenging from a coal mining perspective.
Yeah, definitely. And a couple of sites in New South Wales. Let's start with Boggabri. Tell us a bit about that site.
So Boggabri is open cut, producing around 7 million tonnes for sale every year, mostly thermal, probably 70% thermal, 30% met coal.
Yeah.
It's got a mine life out to 2036 now. With a modification in for approval that would take that life out to 2040.
Yeah, okay. And that would be the end of sort of 2040 is basically the end of what you could do
there.
Yeah,
we run out of reserve pretty well at 2040, so that's that would be the plan. So, yes, we employ 850-odd people, operators and staff down there.
Yeah.
So it's a big contributor for our business. And it's obviously a big contributor in the community down there as well.
Yeah, definitely. And some exciting times out there at the moment. A couple of really great projects announced. The huge battery project, for one.
Yeah, we made the decision probably 18 months ago to put a solar farm in at Boggabri, which we've now just commissioned in September. And that's a 5-megawatt solar farm to supply probably 60% thereabouts of the power into the mine site. Obviously during the day, powering the prep plant and the offices and the support infrastructure. And we've just made the decision to put that with a vanadium flow battery, which would be installed probably back end of next year. And that will then extend the power that we can provide from the solar, storing it during the day and delivering it overnight when the sun's not shining.
Yeah.
So that's a 2-megawatt battery that will run for 6 hours.
Yeah,
so it's significant. And it'll be the biggest vanadium flow battery in Australia when it's put in. I mean, it's not big in global scale, but big for Australia.
It's pretty big.
So it's kind of cool.
That's awesome. I guess, you know, it's one thing to have a solar farm, but to be able to store the energy that you're generating there makes it even better.
Yes, absolutely. And we're hoping that it can become a bit of a model for other mine sites, remote mine sites, remote communities, where you can see the two working well together, a renewable source and a battery storage coming together to provide that energy.
Exactly. Do you think there'll be, I was out at, I'll use it as an example, at Mandalong Mine a couple of weeks ago, and they've got their own power station there on site that the gas that comes out from underground is converted and they use that for energy, and some of that energy is left over and ends up being out in the community for the grid. Do you think a similar thing will happen with you guys?
Yeah, ultimately. I mean, the main main focus is off-grid or behind the meter power at the moment. That's what the approval's for. That's what the agreement's around. But there is the potential for connection to the grid for supply outside of that.
It's
a process we have to go through to do that. And ultimately, this project will last longer than the mine.
Yeah.
So at some point, we will want to make that change and potentially supply into the grid to leave that asset as a regional asset that helps helps the energy system.
Yeah. It's great to see, you know, obviously there's a lot of talk about transition and renewables at the moment, has been for quite a while, but it's great to see coal mining and the renewables working together.
Yeah.
It is possible.
It seems reasonably logical when you can make a business case for it. I mean, sometimes it doesn't make sense financially and it's very hard to get those cases up, but we were able to make this work financially. So that's, that's a big tick. And I think as a model, and particularly for those remote type operations that rely on diesel generation for a lot of their power.
Yeah.
The concept of renewables coupled with long duration storage like a vanadium flow battery could be a really big solution. And then maybe you've got diesel generators as a really a backup. And your carbon emissions come down, your confidence in supply is there.
Exactly.
It's a pretty good win-win, I think.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And how are things going at Muswellbrook Coal? Obviously, mining is finished there and we're into the rehab post-mining stage of things.
The rehabilitation is pretty much just finished.
That's awesome.
So that's almost all the physical work from a rehab perspective is done.
Yep.
There's a few buildings to knock down and whatnot. So that's really positive. We've got a lot of monitoring and a lot of management to do over the next few years to prove that it's all stable and safe and all of the rest of it. But it's a really big milestone for the company.
Yeah.
The post-mining land use opportunities are pretty significant. So we've got a solar farm that we have in a joint venture partnership with OX2.
Yep.
And we've also got the pumped hydro with AGL that is a major project for the region, utilising one of the old pits at Muswellbrook as the bottom reservoir.
Yeah.
And then constructing a reservoir at the top of Bell's Mountain, which is right next door.
Yeah. I feel like Muswellbrook in the Upper Hunter is really going to be an example that a lot of people can look at for post-mining land use, obviously with what's happening at Muswellbrook Coal and Mount Arthur as well. There's lots of land there, lots of opportunity.
Yes. I think that the challenge is finding the right projects that are going to make it work.
Yes.
Right? You can't... A pumped hydro works there because there's a big hill next to an old mine, and so that works.
Exactly.
If you don't have that geography, then that's possibly not the right solution. But there's a lot of power infrastructure in and around the Hunter from the Liddell Bayswater power station. So there's a lot of capacity in the grid to take renewables, and hence the renewable energy zone that the government established in the Hunter. So I think there's huge opportunity for post-mining land use to think more beyond the traditional agricultural land and returning it to what it was beforehand.
Exactly.
And to everyone's credit, that's what most of the industry is starting to do that. I mean, Mount Arthur, BHP are doing a great job looking at opportunities, and many other mines are also turning their mind to it. So I think it's really positive.
Exactly. And Idemitsu Australia, obviously in the coal mining side of things and looking at these bits and pieces of renewables, but fingers in lots of pies, critical minerals as well.
We've in the last few years we made the strategic decision to diversify, not transition away from, but diversify outside of coal.
Yeah.
And critical minerals was a target area for us, particularly battery related minerals. So it still has that energy focus.
Yeah.
And potential connection back to Japan. So whether that's Japanese customers or potential Japanese investors or Japanese technology, being able to couple our investments back to that Japanese connection is really important.
Yeah.
So we've gotten involved in vanadium, two vanadium projects up in Western Queensland out near Julia Creek, Veco Group and Critical Minerals Group, both looking to mine vanadium, make electrolyte and deliver vanadium flow batteries basically. And the connection with the Japanese there is Sumitomo Electric builds vanadium flow batteries, and so they've got a long history in doing that.
Yeah.
And so there's a nice connection into the Japanese world there. We're invested in Graphenex, graphite company, who just today had a major announcement out of the US that the Export Import Bank of the US is basically going to fund their entire project with debt funding.
Wow.
For mining in Australia and processing in the US.
Yeah.
So huge huge step forward for them. But that's a graphite supplier that will supply alternate graphite to China.
Yeah.
And then we're in lithium over in Western Australia, in Delta Lithium. And obviously lithium for lithium batteries, but lithium price is not terribly good at the moment, unfortunately, but there is a long play there in lithium.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
A lot of work that Idemitsu is doing in Japan with Toyota and other partners developing lithium batteries, lithium solid state batteries for EVs.
Yep.
And so there's a good connection there for Idemitsu Australia.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, this morning we had the New South Wales Premier and a couple of other people talking about how important coal is, but obviously we need all these critical minerals to make all the things that we're talking about.
Absolutely.
So mining isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Mining's not going anywhere. And I think over the last couple of years, there's been a better realisation that mining can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we need the materials that mining produces. And certainly, yeah, even the environmental groups accept that we're going to need mining, right? So they don't like coal mining, but they accept that we need mining for some of these critical minerals and things. But the reality is we're going to need coal mining and critical minerals mining and all the other minerals that aren't in either of those lists.
Yeah, exactly.
For two things, obviously for the development of the globe and all of our trading partners.
Yeah.
But just for our standard of living, right? Our lifestyle, the whole of our economy is built on mining.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. If we get rid of mining, we're in a really difficult position in Australia. So there's a journey as we transition ultimately away from fossil fuels or to minimise fossil fuels, but it's not going anywhere tomorrow. And coal will be around beyond 2050. There'll be a lot of economies still burning coal as part of their base load. So we're certainly not saying we don't like coal or that we're getting out of coal, but we see a lot of opportunity in that critical mineral space and that new mineral development.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like we haven't really touched on community too much, but I feel like the communities where you are choosing to mine these critical minerals and continue coal mining, I mean, the contribution from mining companies like Idemitsu Australia into those communities is massive. Take just one of those companies out,
yes,
and it's just a huge gap.
Yeah, and this is the challenge, even with critical minerals. They're much smaller operations than a coal mine or an iron ore mine. So, you know, you talk about Boggabri employing 850 people. You know, a critical minerals mine like the Vecco's mine in near Julia Creek, it's probably going to be less than 100 people.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a huge scale difference, both in terms of employment, but in terms of the community and the support and the give back. So it is going to be challenging for all of these mines and all of these companies to work out how do they balance that, because coal communities are used to getting quite a lot of support from the mines, which is excellent, right?
Yeah.
And it's necessary. But that same scale of support won't necessarily be there when you talk about much smaller mines, right?
Exactly.
Less people, less revenue, less profit. So how do they make that work in the most effective way for that community? And that's going to be one of the challenges. And it's only going to be solved by working with the community to find what are the touch points here? What can we help with?
Well, yeah, every community is different,
exactly.
Every area is different.
Exactly. And government needs to step in as well. There needs to be a bit more support from the state government, particularly on royalties and taxes that they collect needs to be invested back into those areas.
Yeah.
It's not just for Southeast Queensland or
exactly.
Sydney in the New South
or
Wales
Brisbane.
Case. Yeah, absolutely.
And certainly from where we are in the Hunter Valley, the biggest pet peeve, I think, of the region is that we have so many mines and contribute so much, and yet we seem to get so little back from that government level.
There's always a question around that.
Yeah, exactly. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks, Jess.